Ventnor City Planning Board Meeting, September 22nd, 2025.
My brother-in-law's kids.
Yep.
Row 14. I think I had one sheet for each side of the 50th, like, down the hall. 120.
The Ventnor City Planning Board of September 22nd, 2025 is now in session.
Row.
This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice that this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will our board administrator please call the roll?
Mayor Kribel.
Here.
Commissioner Langgraf.
Here.
Joe Ianazelli.
Here.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Reverend Davi Hutch.
Here.
Lorraine Salada.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Reason.
Here.
Peter Tucko.
Here.
Tim Coos.
Here.
Greg Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
And Jessica Stilley.
Here.
Now, we have the adoption of the minutes of the September 10th. Are there any amendments or changes to said minutes? There are no requests. May I have a motion and a second, please, for adoption of the September 10th minutes?
I'll make the motion. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Therefore, the minutes are adopted. There are no resolutions this evening to adopt, so that is complete. At this time, we have one applicant this evening, and that is of 22 North Martindale Avenue. Are you representing?
Yes, Brian Hune of the Law Office of Brian D. Hune in Northfield, New Jersey, representing the applicant.
Do you have any witnesses you wish to have sworn in?
I do. I actually wanted to clarify the applicant. The applicant was put in as construction, that's the contractor, but the property owners are here and they're, you know, for all intents and purposes, they're the applicant.
Now, who is the applicant?
Okay, well, the applicant is constructed, but I have the property owners who are here.
Can the applicant be the contractor or has to be the owner?
Well, the owners are here, so I'm fine with that. What are the owners' names, Brian?
It is, it's Joel and Karen Rick, and we did have them listed as the owners on that.
Yeah, and they're here, it's their property, so I don't have any issue with that. One preliminary thing I just wanted to address with the board. On Saturday, an email was sent by property owner of 103 North Martindale Avenue. 103 North Martindale Avenue?
Yes.
And this application's 22 North?
Yeah, it's correct.
Okay, I'm not.
It's the next block over.
Next block up.
So, he basically, he said, he gets into why he had some issues, but that's hearsay in my opinion, so the board's not going to hear that. But he basically took the position that insufficient notice was given by the applicant under the New Jersey land use law. As you are aware, 10 days' notice is required. We received a certified letter on September 19th, which appears to have been postmarked September 17th. As such, proceeding with the 10-day hearing could be the basis of an appeal. We will do our best to attend the hearing, but it'll be difficult under such short notice. We think it's reasonable at this time that the case should be continued to the next planning board hearing in October. So that is an adjournment request. I looked this morning with Carmella to verify the applicant's burden was to send their notices at least 10 days prior to the hearing. Mr. Hune clearly sent on September 11th, which is more than 11 days, I guess, but it definitely meets that 10-day requirement. When the applicant receives it, that's not the applicant, when the neighbors receive it, is really of no moment. That the applicant's obligation is descended. So I sent an email to this guy, kind of explained that to him. I said, look, I looked at this. Here's a picture of the white card stamped September 11th, the certified slip. They've done everything. There's no jurisdictional issues for us to hear this. It doesn't really preclude you from requesting an adjournment. You may want to reach out to the applicant's attorney, but otherwise, you know, I'll let the board know that you've requested an adjournment, but I think you should make a more formal request to the board secretary, set forth your reasons exactly why. He has not done that, but since the email from Saturday at least alludes to an adjournment request, I just want to have a discussion briefly with the board. Now, then I called him to make sure he got it, and I said, you know, I explained to him that this was mailed on September 11th. I sent him a picture of it. I don't think he liked my answer, so I took another step, and I took the tracking information, and I put it into the United States Postal Service website, and I got the whole history that further confirmed that, you know, it confirmed that on September 11th it was mailed, you know, and it shows the whole history, what post offices it went to and all that other stuff. I sent that to him. He still didn't like that answer, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but then he basically said that, well, we should impose a more stringent requirement that the notice should be sent, you know, 15 days or 30 days. And I said, well, two things. My response to that was twofold. Number one, we enforce what the land use law says now and our ordinance say now, which is 10 days, which the applicant met. So you're proposing something down the road, but I went a step further and I said, also, there's some case law on that says the land use law strikes a balance on when these notices have to be sent and to who they have to be sent. And there's clear case law from the appellate division of published decision that says a municipality cannot make more stringent requirements. So we can't say 30 days or 300 feet. It's 200 feet within properties within 200 feet, no less, at least 10 days prior to the hearing. He didn't agree with that assessment, and then he said, give me something in writing. I said, I don't really need to. He told me I was scared to do that. So that's when I had to pretty much end the call. But I did send him the case that said that. And then, so in any event, there is some in his Saturday letter where he, you know, suggested he didn't receive this thing and he wants an adjournment. And that's pretty much it. Ryan, I'd let Mr. Hume just give his response to that, and then we can just move to the other.
Certainly, okay. Thank you. Yeah, very respectfully, we certainly don't want to stymie public input, but my notice was correct, as your solicitor indicated. My phone number was on the notice. He could have called me with questions or comments. I never heard from him. You know, my clients are paying me here tonight. We have a professional with us tonight as well. I would hate to adjourn it. If I had made a mistake, I'd be the one who was adjourning it. But the notice was correct, and
You want to proceed?
Yeah, he could have. You know, and frankly, he could have hired an attorney to come or in his place and make comments. But respectfully, I would respectfully request that there not be an adjournment. We are prepared to proceed tonight.
Okay. Is it appropriate for the board to take a straw poll? And
I don't think necessarily a straw poll, but what the law is, you can request. Just be the notices were fine, 100% fine. The board has jurisdiction to hear it. That doesn't necessarily mean you can't request an adjournment. And the basic law on that is the board's got to consider that based on the totality of the circumstances. You know, we heard Mr. Hume's here, he's ready to go. Apparently, he didn't call Mr. Hume. And just based on the whole totality, whether the board should grant this adjournment or we should proceed.
I'm going to ask the board, is there anyone on the board who does not wish to proceed?
Well, let me ask this. Did he notify you or talk to you?
No, not at all.
So he did what he had to do. What are we wasting our time
for? Okay.
I just want something on the record.
The record is no one, Andy asked me, made a request not to proceed. We are proceeding.
Very good.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. We were talking about swearing the witnesses. I don't know if you want to swear Mr. and Mrs. Richterman. I also have also a little bit of a change tonight. You may have recognized the plans were done by the Schaefer Nasser Scheide firm. Unfortunately, due to their schedule, they were not available. We have Jen Heller of the Palestina firm, who will be, you know, you may know her already, but she will certainly provide her credentials. and she'll be able to testify.
Is everyone going to testify before the board must be sworn?
Yeah, well, swear, if you'd like to swear all three in.
Yeah, we can do all three at once. Jen, if you want to come up and, I'm going to ask the applicant to spell their last name too. I got Joel and Karen, but I didn't quite get the last name. But just, you can just go down the line, state your name and address or business address.
Jennifer Heller, Palestine and Associates, 6684 Washington Avenue, Egg Harbor Township.
Okay.
Karen Richardson, 22 Martindale, Edmond, New Jersey.
I'm Joel Richardson, 22 North Martindale, Edmond, New Jersey.
And when we get into it, when you testify, come up to the mic, but can you spell your last name, please?
RICHTERMAN.
Got it, thank you. Okay, oh, do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, I see three yeses, thank you.
So just, I'll be very brief, because you probably want to hear from the witnesses.
Wait a minute, one thing. All right, are you complete?
Okay.
The credentials. What capacity are you testifying for Palestine's firm?
So I'll be testifying as their professional planner. I'm a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. I also hold an AICP certification, and I've appeared for several boards.
Chairman, I know Jen very well.
Okay.
She's certainly qualified.
She's certainly qualified, so we'll accept your qualifications.
Thank you.
And thank you. And before I forget, I'm going to get Roger. Mr. McLaren, you swear from the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay. Do you want to do a preamble on this?
No, I think they need to start.
Okay.
So anyway, just very briefly, because I'm sure you want to hear from the witnesses, as was already stated, this is a property of 22 Martindale. It is basically an existing single-family, two-story structure. The plan is simply to add a third floor, which will add an extra living area. There's a couple of, I guess we'll call them design variances that Ms. Heller will discuss, but the setbacks, the parking, none of it is being changed by this. And in fact, the height is not triggering a height variance. So for the most part, with the exception of some design, some variances from design standards, it's basically no new variance being presented. Again, Ms. Heller is going to go through all of that. So I'd just really like briefly to have the Richtermans speak and introduce themselves, tell you a little bit about the history of the house, and have them explain why they would greatly appreciate the opportunity to add this addition to their home. So Joel, do you want to come up? Or?
Okay, I'm Joel Rickman, and I guess I'm the cause of all this. But anyway, we've had connections with Ventnor our whole life in there. You know, I grew up spending summers at the Bahama Motel, which was the Breakers.
Okay, sir, could you come a little, bring the
sure.
mic a little closer? It will come, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Which was the Breakers, and I spent summers there. Karen's parents, from 30-year residents of Ventnor. 20 years ago, we bought Martindale Avenue, and it's just been great. It's a great location, we have great neighbors, and we want to stay there. I never thought I'd say this, but now we have grandkids, and we could use a little bit more room in there. So we're looking to put one more bedroom and a bathroom, and just like, it seems like everybody else has done that. We don't want to change the footprint, we want to keep it as minimal as we can. So that's basically the goal, so our family can keep coming and enjoy Ventnor like we've always done.
And so this is a home, this is your home, you're not developing it to sell it, you're doing this is where you reside.
This is just ours, we've never rented it, we have no plans on renting it. Hopefully someday the kids will have it, and that's the goal.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Richardson?
No.
Ms. Heller, I guess I think with your inspiration, I'll turn it over to Ms. Heller to get more of the technical side. She'll walk you through some of the variances, and she'll explain from a planning standpoint some of the negative and positive criteria.
Before we start on that, I have a question.
Yes.
Which elevations are correct?
So the architects are the closest to being correct. Apparently there was a bust in the elevation on the engineer's plan. There is a 2015 elevation certificate that is most reflective according to the architect. So they are going to reshoot elevations. We'll have to do the flood certification. So that'll be part of any compliance if the board does grant approval. So your height variance that you called out, we will request, you called out a 31.49 building height elevation, where 31 is permitted.
Could you slow down just a little bit?
Sure.
And could you restate what the elevation of the first of the building, what elevation are you looking for, Roger?
The correct one.
Correct one of what is the elevation of that, the first floor?
No, the overall height.
Okay.
So the 2015 elevation certificate was probably NGBD 29.
It was.
So you did, somebody did a conversion to get to NADD 88?
Correct.
We need a surveyor to provide that information.
Yes, so they will be resurveying the property because there was a bust in one of the benchmarks. So they are going to resurvey everything and provide probably a new flood certification anyway as part of the construction.
Sure.
So we're going to go based on the architect's elevations, which...
Well, it's all relative.
It's correct. Right, so it's measured from your BFE plus 3 plus 1.
Well, your first floor is supposed to be at 4. It's plus 3, but we give you another foot to get out of the water
resistance. Right, for the freeboard.
And I'm in agreement with the height variance not being required.
So, okay.
Then we'll certainly make a condition of approval that we will get that resolved.
What is the deficiency, or is there a deficiency in the flood elevation? Do they meet, are they...
They're below it. One plan shows it being way below, and the other plan shows it being a little bit less warm.
How much below are they below flood elevation based on the best of their...
They're about 4 feet.
You're 4 feet below flood elevation. So you do not meet flood.
Correct.
Okay.
We would have to clarify it on the revised plans. Submit.
So before we get too deep into that, so based on 50% of the building's value, they have to make that first floor compliant.
If they meet or exceed the 50%, no matter which elevation they use.
Right. So is there a building record card in this? I mean, I don't want to go through all this testimony and then at the end I'm not going to be able to do this.
I can actually address that. We actually went and received an appraisal, and we have a cost estimate, which I can share with the board. It'll be submitted, of course, as part of permitting.
So you're good with the 50%?
Yes, it falls below 50, and I believe the appraisal came in at $464,000.
So you're below
$200,000? We're below $200,000, yes. And obviously that'll be submitted as part of the permitting.
And just to clarify that, if the permits come in higher than that, which sometimes they do, you're still subject to it.
Absolutely. We do recognize that, yes.
So are we good on the height?
So far,
yeah. Okay. All right.
So could you just talk to the board a little bit about the existing variances, some of the kind of design variances, and kind of explain the reasoning why, in your opinion, as a professional planner, these variances would be appropriate.
Okay. So to put it in your packages, you've got a survey prepared by Schaefer, Nassar, and Shadig Engineers.
Could you speak closer to the mic?
Sure. Dated July 30th, 2025. You also have a variance plan prepared by S&S Engineers.
There's a handheld here.
Oh.
Right there.
All right.
Right there behind you. Right on the up. There you go. Or you can do that.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So this is the variance plan that is included in your packages. We'll mark this Exhibit 1 or A.
Sure. We can call the variance plan Exhibit 1. A1, usually the applicant one.
So as you can see on the variance plan and the survey, the conditions are the same because the applicant is not proposing to expand the footprint. They are going up vertically with a third floor. And Exhibit 2 is just an enlarged detail of the variance plan. Okay. So we have a few, more like 4 or 5, existing non-conforming conditions. One of them is the lot area. It is an existing non-conforming lot. 2,312 square feet is required in your R4 district. The applicant's lot is 1,875 square feet. With this smaller lot area also comes a smaller lot width. We're at 30 feet for an existing lot width, where 40 feet is required. Front yard setback, 12 feet is required, and 3.2 feet is existing and proposed because of the third floor elevation change and expanding the building vertically. The third floor goes out to 3.2 feet where 12 foot is required. So we're asking for a variance for the existing conditions and that proposed third floor. Side yard setback, 4 feet is required, 1.6 feet is proposed and existing. Again, we're not expanding the footprint, we're just going up vertically in height. Our lot coverage, 75% is required.
1.6 feet where?
On the sides.
Both sides?
No.
No.
Just one side?
Southern side. The other side is 2.4. So we have 2.4 on the northern side and 1.6 on the southern side.
But your proposed third floor will meet the requirement of the side yard setback, the 4 feet.
On the side yards? Right, so we are going to meet the 4 foot on the third floor, but again, we have an existing non-conforming condition on the house that we're expanding. So we're asking for that variance as well. Lot coverage, 75% is required or permitted, 92.3% is proposed. Again, we're not adding, expanding the footprint, adding any more impervious coverage, but we also don't have, really have the opportunity to reduce any. The applicant has an existing landscaping bed. It is actually more of the right of way, which most of them along the street are, but they will maintain that landscape bed. And also, one of the comments in your engineer's letter was putting in street trees. So the applicant has agreed to put street trees in. Do we want to speak?
That is going to put street trees in, but we did want to let you know, you have to testify. The house at one point had street trees, they moved it in. So while the applicant will be willing to do it, we might, you know, the board is willing, we might go ahead for a waiver that requires it only because.
Are you asking for a waiver or you're not?
Yeah, we will ask for a waiver, only because the trees have died and passed, but they're willing to do it for the board.
Does your street flood?
Well, if they use the correct elevation, no.
We would respect that, say, waiver right then, my client is not, he opposed the board justice, but it is not. But the history was the trees had died on the ass.
Neglect. Okay.
Parking is also an existing non-conforming condition. Right now, the dwelling contains 3 bedrooms, which requires 2 spaces. We're adding a 4th bedroom into the dwelling, and again, we still only have 1 space.
And to clarify, Mr. President, we have learned the ordinance, the fact that we're adding a bedroom does increase the main requirement, so it's the number of spaces required.
Correct, yes. And we have 3 new variances with the addition of the third floor. And these are with dormers, what, to the architectural plan? And that'll be exhibit 3. The architectural plan was designed, was submitted by Daniel Mashion, and as you can see on the proposed dwelling, there are dormers that exceed 40% of the length of the building. So we're requesting a variance for the dormer length. We're also going to be requesting a variance for the dormer area because, again, it exceeds the 40% of the third floor area. This is all due to the narrowness of the dwelling itself, which is existing. We're just going up vertically, but in order to make those work, we need the larger dormers.
And in your opinion, as a planner, does the design dormers actually enhance the property even though they don't comply?
It does, and it also helps to promote the desirable visual environment. So one of the criteria, which I'll go through later, to advance purposes of zoning, and that is one of them, with the design of the dormers and the building to break up that roof area. And then we need the variance for the building height. So I would request a variance to allow 31.5 feet just to be safe. Once we confirm the elevations, obviously, if we are going to, I don't think that we're going to exceed the 31 foot, but in the event that we do, they would just have to return to the board.
How much of a variance are you asking for in height?
Half a foot. So that would just be in case.
Okay, 6 inches.
Correct, yes. So we would request the 31.5. we're going to make it work at 31, not to exceed it, but in the event that we do, we would return to the board. So those are the variances that we're requesting. Sure. So the proposed improvements will enhance the property, promote the establishment of appropriate population densities. This is...
Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Slow down, please.
Sure.
Slow down.
Sorry. Right here. So how this application will advance the purposes of zoning, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Again, we are asking for variances that are existing non-conforming, that we're expanding the structure, but we're expanding it vertically and not deviating from what's already been...
Well, take your variances in groups, please.
Sure.
Not all of them, because you can't lump that sum into all, every variance.
Right.
Everyone has a specific thing, so go through and give us a little more breakdown instead of a general opinion, please.
Sure. So on our existing non-conforming variances, our lot area, lot width, front yard setback, and side yard setback, it encourages the municipal action and also promotes the desirable visual environment. Again, we're keeping with what is already established. We're not going to deviate anymore. We're not expanding the footprint. We are keeping within what is already existing. The only difference is we're going up in height.
Sure. Before we move on for this, from a negative standpoint, the negative criteria, can those variances granted without a negative impact on the zoning plans and the paper?
They can be granted without the negative impact. They're existing. And several other dwellings on this block also have the same existing non-conforming conditions as this dwelling does. So,
and in fact, a number of problems in the block were already still existing being proposed as well, right?
Correct. Several dwellings adjacent to these lots are already expanded to that third floor. So there will be no negative or detrimental impact to the surrounding neighborhood or to the city's master plan or zoning. Those are the existing conditions. Again, we're not exacerbating the parking condition. We have one existing space. We're required to have two. We're not going to further make that more non... We're not making it more non-conforming than it already is. If we added two more bedrooms, then we would be. But we are still required to have two spaces as we are today, and we only have one.
Well,
so that would be, again, with criteria A, to allow the municipal action to guide the appropriate use of the development of all lands. And the dormer areas and dormer length and building height, I would say they're all proposed variances. So those could be, those are all desirable visual environment through creative development techniques, a good civic design and arrangement. We're breaking up that long roof with the use of dormers. Yes, we are exceeding the 40%, but the narrowness of the house requires us to do so. And again, there would be no negative impact on the surrounding properties or on the city's zoning ordinance.
Exactly. Use the dormers as you described, that'll actually enhance the aesthetics and make the house more with the CRG.
Correct. So the use of the dormers will enhance the aesthetics of the property and the dwelling and the neighborhood surrounding the lot.
Chairman, I have a couple questions.
Please.
So the architecture plan we got is this big.
Oh gosh.
So it's very hard for us to see this. So I'm looking at what looks like it's marked as 13, second from the right. So that wall along the left-hand side of that, that's a rear elevation. So that would be the western side of the building, I guess, north.
Yes.
So does that dormer step back in at all, or just that little pent roof pop out to break up that wall line?
over, got to get over.
This one here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for.
Because it's, on ours, it looks like it's straight, but looking from here, it looks like it steps in some.
It does.
It does step in, I enlarged it on my phone.
Okay, is that, all right, so it's not a straight wall going up there?
Correct, no, it does step in.
That helps a little bit.
Over that storage area, it goes up more.
Yeah, it favors.
Yeah, but it does step in some?
It favors the storage area, and then there's like.
That's the 1.6 variance if you need on the right, on the left side.
On the left side of that. Very hard to see.
So that's the existing, though, the second, third floor steps in though, right?
It steps in a little bit, it doesn't step in as much as the side yards do.
Okay. It'll give it some relief with that roof there. And then the second question I have, when did the garage turn into just storage, or like a wall?
We have some testimony on that. Mr. Brinkman, you want to explain the history of the garage?
I mean, I can say what it is, we can testify.
That's fine. Just got to come up to the microphone now.
And Mr. Brinkman, you can confirm what I was going to say. We did anticipate that when we get concerned with this, we don't know. When Mr. Brinkman bought the property 20 years ago, we didn't know.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the house internally had been converted in such a way you really can't convert back to a garage. But Mr. Brinkman did not do that, doesn't really know. He had to guess, if the house was renovated in the 1970s, and they had been done as part of those renovations, but it's definitely not in the last 20 years since.
Because while the RSI house may not require parking, adding another bedroom on an already overcrowded street, parking is a concern. If we could add a space back in there, that would, why can't it be converted back to the garage?
The house has been converted internally. The garage is only 6 feet deep.
But it's storage.
But only 6 feet would be enough for a car. Mr. Brinkman, can I look at that?
There's a wall there, you build a wall, and you remove it.
Yeah, but that would mean renovating, full renovation of the interior. Mr. Brinkman, explain, part of this uses living space now. Also,
so it's not storage.
So the storage is only 6 feet deep.
Well, it's on the plan, it's both storage.
Yeah.
It's referred to as storage, but apparently Mr. Brinkman, has indicated it only goes back 6 feet.
But that's the end.
My point is, there was a garage there.
Absolutely.
Now there's a wall 6 feet back, and both of those areas are labeled as storage. So I'm finding a hard time. I'm looking for parking.
Yeah, and I guess we're.
Yeah, the.
You can get two cars in that driveway, even though it's technically.
You can get two cars in the driveway, and that's what we do.
Okay.
But the front part of it is basically storage.
Right.
You know, it has the garage door, and you go in and put storage in. The back half we use as a den. So whatever space that is right now is used as a den.
It's all great.
But I think the point we're trying to make is
it's not physical.
You're making a change to the house, you're adding.
Uh-huh.
But parking is going to be an issue here. So you may need to make an additional architectural change to allow for three vehicles to be there. You're saying two already can park there.
Right.
That other space would allow that third, which would then remove the variance.
Right. Well, two is the requirement.
We don't know how long the driveway is. How long is the driveway?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it means.
The driveway is long enough, I looked at it. It's not long enough in two places. So a car is hanging over the sidewalk. So you got one parking place,
right?
And in there, so you don't have to.
I think that's right. Is correct.
I can make it. But two vehicles is to give the bring this thing to mix. But if we have to do a bunch of internal renovations as part of this, I'm afraid we might not make the 50%.
Well, there's a reason for all these rules, and there's a reason for us asking these questions.
Yes.
So, and thank you for answering them. We appreciate that.
Yeah, we are concerned that we basically need re-renovating for, and again, I certainly, if we were going to have to, if this changes, we needed three off-street spaces, I certainly understand, but in essence, the use of the house is not changing much. Same number of people are pretty much staying there right now. This is just giving an extra space, so the grant is.
What happens, how long is the variance good for that we grant them?
Granted, it's actually forever. We recognize that.
Okay, so we grant something on this property. It's forever.
Right.
So we got to be sure what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, yeah, we just need to respectfully ask for the service. That is the variance parking, but you just need to do the allowed.
So the storage area is now living space?
I think the whole one, every neighbor's house is the same.
It's on grade.
They've got doors instead of garages on that block. It's three of the same models, so they're all living space on that block. And I'm not arguing one way or the other.
Right.
But.
So flat elevation certificate needs to reflect that.
Because that's down at grade. It's probably not.
Ground elevation 6.6.
But, you know, you're saying that area's used as a den. You're building a new lounge or den up on the third floor. So that, what that.
I just want to.
Go ahead, throw it in the range.
Yeah, just kind of question the case. As we all know, parking is horrible, particularly in the summer on the whole island. And we have people coming in here before the board complaining about lack of parking. And I honestly don't remember, and I don't know how many years, I've been on the board a really long time, I don't remember any time giving someone relief for parking when you're already really under the number. So to add on to that, and you're saying if there's no more people, but you're adding a bedroom. So common sense tells me there's going to be more activity. And in clear conscience, I just can't imagine saying that's okay. So.
I don't remember ever granting a variance for parking.
There's a lot of activity on Vetner at the bottom of your street. And that activity demands a lot of parking. So you're in an area where every space is a treasure, and you're adding another bedroom, as we're all mentioning. And you're gonna add more people, you're adding more cars. So what we're trying to do here is we need a little modification where you can expand into your house and add another parking area. That's basically the point.
How should we?
I'm not arguing for it, but every single house on that block has a small parking lot that's been converted into living space, and it's not compliant in some way. I'm not arguing for it. I agree with what the board's saying, but there's at some point you have to hold the line, but it's a difficult. What's that?
Now, it's right next door, you have a garage door on it.
The problem is I'm going to just voice it at me. The problem is you're trying to take a home that should be lifted and work around it so it doesn't get lifted. And that's exactly what's going on here. And now the rest of the city is we're trying to do this across the entire city, and the rest of the Jersey coast is trying to do it. So the application basically is kind of going against the grain of what the entire result of Hurricane Sandy was and what we've learned from it, and then go through. Now, you know, that's the aspect of it. That's why these rules go into 50% rule, which you're concerned with, and so on. You know, we like to help people too where we can, but at some point, you just got to say, wait a minute. We have gained parking places wherever we've done it in the city. So why should we go backwards and then take them away?
Understood. I just, unfortunately, I think given, and again, that we were not the ones who took parking spaces.
It doesn't matter. We're the one making the application.
Yes, we are.
Can I ask a question? If that 6-foot storage was removed, right, and the den was called a den, which it is, and that 6-foot was given back to the driveway, because I don't think you could fit a car in the garage or anything. You couldn't get out of it once you got in. Mm-hmm. But if that 6-foot was removed and you've got another 6-foot, would that be enough for two places?
Yes. You'd have just 36 feet, so two 18 by 9 spaces.
18, we have 19.
We'll never get through.
No. Two is required. Two is required.
Is there enough width to park between the support?
Enough width to support, to the support. If we took that out, is there enough width there to park the car between?
What's the width of the driveway?
What's the width of the driveway?
10 feet.
10 feet?
Yes.
Are there any encroachments?
No, we got 10 feet clear in the driveway.
To the property line?
To the property line, yes. To the existing edge of the concrete. The concrete is 10 feet wide.
And the setback here is 1.6 to the garage?
Correct.
So then it's 8'6", really not enough.
To pull a car into for the garage door?
Well, you'd have to have some, there'd have to be some structure on the left side there. So it really wouldn't work.
Well, you would just make like half a carport, pull the garage door off and just have the car pull in.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying that.
I don't think that number is only 8'6".
Right.
At best, you still have to have a structure to carry the second.
This is like, it's like a lean-to.
It'll still happen.
I know, but you're gonna build a second floor over it.
No, the second floor is existing.
It's your third floor. They're not taking away the garage, but only.
No, I know they're not, but you're gonna put a second floor and a third floor on top of the garage.
Second floor is already on top of the garage. Third floor.
Not according to this elevation. And not that I saw on the site visit today. It's a shed roof on top of the garage.
That's right.
There's only a structure above it, so that doesn't.
I mean, two floors of structure above this garage.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Never get a closet too. Between that, that supports.
They don't have to replace that exterior wall.
Well, we're proposing to take the exterior wall out.
No. What I think, what general, somebody was talking about was just taking the garage door off, using that 6 feet to go back. Leave that as a carport.
Yeah.
But they're building on top of it. Understand, I'm not taking away any structural. The thought was take, pull the garage door off. Then you can drive the car 6 feet in and you have the depth to get.
To get to stars.
This house, Tim, this is my house again.
Yeah.
So I have a garage with, but I have two spaces in front. And I have a garage that I can fit my Triumph Spitfire. That's about the only car that fits in.
Is this the same plan as yours? Yeah.
It's an old Dutch home.
Close.
The same with your semi-attached garage on the left-hand side.
The garage has to maintain the same width as the truck.
Yeah, so I don't know, we're quibbling over trying to get a very narrow parking space in there that probably will never get used.
You know, if it's, doesn't have the width, it doesn't count as a parking place.
Yeah.
You can't count.
That's what I'm saying, my garage doesn't fit a regular normal car.
Right, so that's why.
It wouldn't all fit there.
I was just gonna say, my client will be willing to remove the garage door, but I'm not even sure that's gonna enhance aesthetics.
I don't think it's gonna, the offset is too great. And I think the wall has to be removed on the, on the party line, or the side yard line for the driveway to work. Otherwise, you won't have a legal parking place.
You can put a column there.
Columns you can't drive through?
Yeah.
That's right.
So, that's up to the, you guys to work out, if you can do it. But that's the only way you're gonna get another parking place in there.
Again, that is our, and that's respectfully why we would ask for variance. I mean, we recognize the difficulty of parking, but you know, in the circumstances, we would respectfully request that parking variance for the existing.
Jen, what's the dimension from the face of the garage to the property?
It's about 31 feet.
30 feet.
And that landscape bed goes another, what, 5 feet into the right of way?
Yes.
So in essence, they're using that as part of the parking space, because we all do it. We all cram two cars in our parking garages when we can.
Right.
Like, you still have 8 feet between the edge of the planting bed and the curb.
Right.
So perception, yeah.
As Mr. Berger said, he does put two cars in the driveway. I mean, if
Well, I'm not sticking the right way a little bit, but it is.
But so is the planner. So it's, he's using everything from the face of the building to the planner edge for two parking places.
Correct.
Because that's 35.
Correct. It's just a foot short, so.
Right. So that, I mean, on a practical basis.
Can I make a suggestion? Can we have a continuation of this and let them figure out with their architect, their carpenters, and whoever else? Because this, these really are not our problems to solve. And if you can come up with a solution, we can hear your case again. That's what I think we should do.
You know, respectfully, I think we might be able to solve it by the fact that we can make the cars in the house.
If they're not too legal.
You got to prove.
They're not big enough.
We're not going to wing it here. So you don't have the data. You should be giving you a reasonable solution. You're using a scale, not a survey, to judge things. And things can be off or things can be there. So, we usually send plans back to the right people, the designers. Let the designers do it. Let them tell us. They have the seal.
And I have just a couple questions. The dormer variance, can you explain that, Roger? Can you explain why one of the 40% rule? And again, I would say if it does come back, invest in the 24x36 plans, because 1/8 scale is almost impossible to read.
Sure.
But so the dormer scale or the dormer variance, the dormers used to be you're that 1/3 the length of the side of the house for dormers. We just increased it to 40% instead of 30%. Okay. Dorm size plus the area of the third floor. The maximum floor area for a dorm was 40%. It wasn't required before, but it's the footprint of the dormer is 40%, or is it the
well, these have this roof slope envelope.
Okay.
Requirement here. It just, so you had to draw a plan, to check if you needed a variance or not. So we clarify that. It's not the best, but it is.
And Commissioner Langreff comment about whether they're set back or not, that's a feature of them, is to make the mass not seem as much. Is that what?
Right. Yeah, trying to look at ways to soften the massive structure going up.
But I just wanted to know, because there's four variances for that, right? Yes.
Yes. Well, the dormer area,
yeah,
and the dormer length are two separate variances, yes.
Okay.
One of the things I would suggest for the parking, whether this comes back or if tonight, request a license from the city to use that right away to get those two parking spaces stacked. What we've done in the past is that if you have too shy, a little bit short of a space, you can get a revocable license from the city to occupy our right of way.
Okay.
Because your planter bed is already out there. You already have it built in, so does your neighbor. Look at the papers of the neighbor's site. It's a reasonable request, in my opinion.
To the edge of the planter, basically.
Right. What's that?
To the edge of the planter.
To the edge of the planter gives you almost enough for two full spaces.
Correct.
So that, to me, is a reasonable request. We come to City Council, City Commission. But that's something this board can't grant, but it's a suggestion that any approval would be tied to this. That would be something I would put as a condition that you go to City Commission.
We'll still have parking variance.
But we'd still have to.
Correct.
Yeah, we'd have to still have a variance.
Is it a variance, though? Because I don't, it's an existing condition, but they're expanding it. So, yeah.
They're expanding it. It
retrograde. Yeah.
I had
better. Yeah. What about the driveway? There's a question, and it said it's not wide enough.
The garage is wide enough. If you would think, I tried to use
one, you just want to pull a car.
You'd never be able to get
that. Well,
the simplest way for everybody is go back and verify the facts. And then they may not need commission activity. They may be able to just go in, take care of it with the garage, be done with it, and everybody walks away happy. And that's it, because we're just whistling Dixie here, and we don't have all the facts. So, as a designer, you have a survey. You know what you're trying to do is get 38 feet clear with your property line. If you can do it, do it. That way the city commission doesn't have to act You don't get the other treatment. You get your two spaces, your variance disappears, and everybody's happy. That's the simplest matter, and it's called preparedness.
Let me make a suggestion. In New Haven, Atlantic Avenue, there's a James Earl Wright house. They did that. They moved the garage door back in order to create a car space. If you look at that, maybe it will just not rewrite everything, just cheat off of it. Because you can pull a car up. It's not going in the garage. Because they did exactly the same thing you did, but they moved the garage door back so they could pull the car far enough in, and we don't have to deal with the city. You get your 38 feet and you're done. Just something to think of.
Could I respectfully request we vote on all but the parking areas tonight, or would you rather do it all?
We do it one time. And the other thing, just as an aside for Mr. Richterman, you know about flood insurance. It's not the purview of this board. I can tell you that. But eventually these rates are going up, and your den on grade is going to be the driving how it's going to be rated. And so your rates will be based on your lowest elevation. So you got to look at that too and ask advice on that matter. I would ask professionals on that and seek that, because eventually the free ride today isn't a free ride tomorrow. Eventually they raise the rates. So that's all your guys' choice. It's not our purview. I just give it to you as a...
Even if we don't build up, we still have to deal with that, right? Is that what you're saying?
That's all I'm going to discuss with it. Your rate is that, and you can seek advice on that matter. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm. This might afford them the opportunity to get the correct elevations.
Right.
And get the correct elevations, yeah.
80. So I think with that, we should respectfully ask if we could table the application. And we will need to renotice, I'm assuming, for the next meeting. So I'm not sure when it's going to be on, but I don't know that we're going to be able to get on for the next meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I'll leave that to you. If you want, if you can get something in and you want to choose a date, I don't necessarily have a problem, as long as your notice is still accurate. But they're going to need some time too. We're back here in like 2 weeks.
Well, it has to be 10 days. I would say not the next meeting, but the 12th.
27th, Monday the 27th.
October 27th.
Yeah.
Does that give you enough time to get everything back to Carmella by the 10 days in the day?
We'll certainly give it a shot.
All right, let me have that.
That will also give us a chance to clarify the application.
And a month, please,
you're going to request.
I think we can make an announcement.
We're going to request that this matter be tabled and announced and made to the public. And I need that we'll right. Be coming back. And right. Of course, the PM May 27th will cancel, and then of course, we'll be
yes. But yeah, fair at that enough. Time, so they're not going to have to be noticed.
Yeah, so just for the record, this is going to be continued to October 27th, 2025. 6:30 p.m. in this room. The applicant will not be required to republish or renotice. This is your official announcement, October 27th, 2025. If you think you need more time, let me know or Carmella know, and we'll push it off again. Then you may need to.
We can discuss. You don't have to do
it. We're going to get the
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You just got to sign it. I'll get one.
Mayor?
Marine.
Mayor? Do you have anything for the board?
Yeah.
Board members? Board members? Does anyone have any business before the board? Does anyone have any business before the board?
Yes, wash your hands very well. COVID's going around again.
Ooh, there we go.
Okay. All right. If that, if we're complete, may I have a motion for adjournment, please?
I make the motion.
May I have a second? Hold on, guys.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
We are adjourned.